Good morning and welcome to Harvest Baptist. In the absence of Pastor Cook and Michelle, I'll be bringing God's Word this morning. Hope you bear with me. I told Pastor Cook he went to see his grandson graduate in Nebraska. I said, you enjoy yourself and you have a good time coming back enjoying the scenery. We here at Harvest Baptist will do the best we can in doing God's work, and we see that. A little bit upset at Chris, he stole my message. No, he didn't. It's just how the Lord works. And then I thank God for the Sunday school teachers and all the ones that take part in making Harvest Baptist Church work, whether it's outside or inside. Daryl said that if I don't finish on time, he's going to start throwing water bottles at me from the back. So or pray for him, okay? Pray for him. In October the 28th, 2021, I got hit real bad with COVID. Landed in the hospital. My right lung collapsed completely, and my other lung was almost halfway working. And so throughout the year and even 2022, I was going to the pulmonologist, and they were trying to pop my lung back up. And what it did, it affected my lips. Up to now, I always have dry lips, and it affected my vision that I can't read the Bible with small letters. I have to get real close. And so if you hear me reading like a robot or kind of slow, please bear with me. I'm going to try reading the first six verses from the Bible. And then my message, this is my message. I have to write it. Instead of reading it, I have to rewrite. So it takes a long time for me. So please bear with me as I give God's word. Then this afternoon I'll be also bringing God's word, so bear with me. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke 22, 1 through 6. And those of you that can stand, please stand. And those that can't, don't worry. We'll understand. So as I read, please, if I go sideways, I'm going to be very careful to read God's word without going everywhere. So bear with me. It says in verse 22, 1 through 6, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes thought how they might kill him, and they feared the people. Then enters Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted or agreed to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Today's message will be, and he thought for an opportunity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we give you the honor and glory. Father, you say in your word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You also say, but God commendeth his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And also you say, for God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Father, this morning we will be seeing several people that having the opportunity, the doors open to heaven, shut them and turn their backs and open the gates of hell. And because they did, they burn in hell right now as we speak. But I thank you, Lord, for those that in the Bible, through Genesis, all the way through Revelation, we see people without hope that surrender themselves to you. They're now in your presence forever. And as our brother Chris said, when the rapture comes, we will be there with them also, Lord. So, Father, open our minds, open our hearts to your word, and help us to see what you have for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Judas, from his heart, from his own will, sought for the opportunity to betray Christ. And we see that in Matthew 26, 14 through 16. You don't have to go there. You could write it down. But it says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted, or they agreed with him, for 30 miserable pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Throughout the Bible, we'll see people or hear of people that were having the opportunity to surrender their lives to Christ, having the doors of heaven right in front of them, turn their back, and now they burn in hell. It's sad. It's true. We don't like to hear what Brother Chris was saying in his lesson. It's so true, but we can't get comfortable, because this is what and why Christ came to die for us, because we were lost without hope. And he gave us that opportunity to come to him. Judas, can you imagine Judas for those 3 years being with Christ? Christ knew that Judas wasn't saved. Just because a person comes to church doesn't mean that they're saved. They don't get saved until they surrender their lives to Christ. They cannot serve Christ until they surrender. Okay? But this is what's happening in hell. Judas, okay, having the opportunity. Let me show you a little bit of what privileges we have. Those little things that we take for granted in hell, they wish they had. They don't. And they will never, ever have it. Bridget, okay? John here has a real bad itch behind his back, but he can't reach. And he, can you help him scratch yours? Oh, how does that feel, brother? Oh, good. Yes. In hell, there's no opportunities for that. There's nobody to scratch them. There's nobody to comfort them. Even I, when I get an itchy back and I'm home by myself and I find a corner and I go back there and I... we all do that sometimes, huh? When we get... How does that feel? When you're thirsty, you're outside cutting the lawn. You're sweating. And you go drink a nice cold glass of water or tea. I like tea. There is no opportunity in hell. The rich man said, send Lazarus that he may dip. He didn't want it a drop. He just wanted the taste of water that he may take his finger and dip it in water and touch my tongue, because I am burning in these flames. Can you imagine that, having the opportunity? Judas now lies with that rich, poor man, without no hope. And in hell, they'll swim 1,000 years that way, trying to find comfort. Help, help, burning in hell. And they get there, they don't find comfort. They come back and they go the other way, and they'll be there. And as we speak right now, they burn in hell. having the opportunity. We see another person here in Genesis 4:7 when God, the same God, speaking to Cain. Can you imagine God talking to us personally, one-on-one? And we think, well, if only God spoke to me, I would have been different. You know what? God speaks to you as we are here. How? Through his word, through the preachers, through the Sunday school teacher. God continues to talk to us. But sometimes we choose, because we have a will and we have to choose to either accept Christ or reject him. That is your choice. Okay? And he's talking to Cain, and God knew that Cain, he knew his ways, and he knew that he was lost. And so, in Genesis 4:7, we see God speaking with Cain, and he tells him this: if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? You and I were sinners, but if we repent, God says, shall I not accept you? And this is what he was telling Cain: you're lost. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You are about to go to hell if you die in your sins. And hell was not made for you and me. Hell was made for Satan and his demons. But because many people are choosing to reject Christ, they're going into the same place. Don't you be one of those. And one of the saddest Bible verses in Genesis to me is Genesis 4:16, where it says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And if you see that, it's all in capital letters saying, you rejected the creator of creators. Cain said, you know what? I'm going to live the vida loca, the crazy life. Yes. I don't care. This is my life. Isn't that what we all used to say? Don't talk to me about God. Yes, I know that I'm a sinner. When I'm old and wrinkled, I'm already wrinkled, but when I'm older and I can't hear, and I can't hear no more, I said, when I am old, I'll give my life to Christ. Right now, I'm going to live the vida loca. Because that's in our nature. It's in our nature to run away from God. But it's in God's nature to come and seek that which was lost, that's you and me. Okay? And he walked away from the presence of the Lord. There was a song that Elvis Presley wrote, I Did It My Way. Remember that song? I Did It My Way. Okay, I'm sure that if he could come back, he would be saying, I'll do it your way. I'll do it your way. Aren't you glad that you and I have done it his way and that we have surrendered our lives to Christ? Pilate, again, before that, but why did they go away from God? Did you know that we have people that come to church, but they don't come to serve Christ? Sometimes you even see them in a suit or in choir sometimes. But you know what? They come to take advantage of the church. What can the church give me instead of surrendering their lives? And in 1 John, I'm just going to do it by memory if I can get it all fine. But in 1 John 2:19, it says, they went out from us. They were in the church. And you see people around here say, they went out from us, but they were not all of us. For if they had truly been of us, they would truly remain with us. We go through trials and we go through this or that, but you know what? We remain faithful because we have the blessed hope that one day we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they didn't get their way, and say, but it was manifested that not all are from him. And we need to be very careful that we examine our lives. I'm not talking, we're not perfect, we fail him, but the Holy Spirit brings us back And say, oh, you know what, I'm not going to do this. But you know how the Holy Spirit talks to us? And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He brings us back to him. And we praise the Lord for that. We have another person, Pilate, willing to contend the people, release Barabbas unto them and deliver Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Can you imagine Pontius Pilate saying, I find no fault in him. What is truth, he said. And truth was standing before him. The doors of heaven were right there. But you know what Pontius Pilate said? I know that you are the Christ. I know, because we know that there's a heaven. We know that there's a hell. But our sinful nature tends to walk away from God. And he said, you know what? I know that you are God and what you're saying is true. But you know what? I choose my career before you. And he turned his back. And Pontius Pilate is one of them again that lies in hell burning as we enjoy this nice cool weather. You know what? When I was a teenager, I went to visit my dad in Oxnard, and I took the Greyhound bus. I was about 16, 17 years old, long hair, and real skinny, weighed about 100, 110 pounds. And so we stopped at Indio, California, and that was at night. My goodness, it was so hot. And I said, I stopped, and he said, we'll be here for 15 minutes until we unload or clean the bus or whatever. And so I got down, and I ordered a vanilla ice cream. It looked so good. And as soon as I opened the door, turning to a milkshake, it just so hot, so hot. And so can you imagine? Well, I'll go get another one and eat it inside. I have a choice. In hell, they don't have that choice. They burn. It is not funny. It's not a joke. I've heard the people say, I want to be in hell with my friends. There's no friends in hell. See, your friends can talk you all the way into hell, but they cannot talk you out of hell. And you'll be there forever. No hope. Nobody can scratch your back. It's a shame. So Pilate chose to reject him. And then we have Felix, again, what Brother Chris was saying. See, Felix knew Paul when he wasn't saved. And he knew that he was a Pharisee, and he knew that he would persecute the Christians. He would come in here and had us beaten up and put us in jail, and he would think that he was doing the will of God. But when God saved him, everything changed. Everything changed, and this is what happened when the Lord comes into our lives. As Pastor Ness says, we will never be the same. We can fail him, but we will never be the same. Why? Because the Holy Spirit now dwells in us. And so Felix started, remember how I was, but now what? And he started, but look at me now. Christ saved me. He changed my life. And then it says right there, and you don't have to go through it, but it's in Acts 24, 24 and 25. And this is Paul talking to him, and it says, and as he reasoned, that's Paul, of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. That's what Brother Chris was talking about, the judgment to come. Felix trembled and answer, go thy way, Paul, for this time when I have a convenient time, I will call for thee. Felix never saw Paul again. He was saying, you know what? One day the Lord's coming. The rapture's going to take place. Exactly what he was saying. And the tribulation's going to come. And you don't want to be through the tribulation. And he said, you're going to have a hard time. And then after that, if before the millennium comes, and Christ is coming for 1,000 years, but you'll be cast into hell. And then when the 1,000 years are over, it says, and I saw a great white throne, and them that were not written in the book of life was what? Cast into the lake of fire. Don't go there. You have an opportunity. You're here without Christ. You having that opportunity, do not shut it down on you. Take advantage of what God is giving you. And then we have King Agrippa. Again, Paul starts telling him, and if you want to go home and read the whole chapter of Acts 26, 1 through 28, and Paul is giving him again the testimony, you know how I persecuted the Christian people, God's people. I thought I was doing a good job, and I was killing God's people, and God saved me. And he started witnessing to him again. And King Agrippa says in 28, he says, then Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There's people in the churches, they come, they're not saved. And they say, whoa, that message touched my heart. Just like me, when I would go to church, when I was a teenager, they would force me to go. And I'd sit down there, and the Holy Spirit would get a hold of me. And my goodness, and I would shake like Felix. I said, no, I'm too young tomorrow. And I thank God that he gave me that opportunity to surrender my life to Christ. I thank God that he given me that opportunity. I took it just like you and me. And now we have that assurance. But now, let's get rid of the people from hell. And now we'll see what God can do. I hope I can finish on time. Pray for me, because Carrie will throw bottled waters at me. Okay. But now, look at the way when we come to Christ. And we start, remember when you accepted the Lord, that you had your first love? I remember, I didn't know, when I got saved, I didn't, all I knew that it was a Bible. I didn't know that it had an Old Testament and that it had a New Testament. I don't know, I didn't know what verses were. All I know that it was a Bible. But when the Lord saved me, and I was truck driving, and I would talk to the other truck drivers, and they would laugh at me sometimes and say, no, you knew. And one of them said to me, what happened to you? You were one of us. You would get high with us. And now we see you different. What happened? And I said, the Lord is the one that made a difference in my life. I cannot change you, but the one that changed me can change you. And so now we see here in Mark 14:13, it says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat or at dinner, there came a woman. This is Mary, Lazarus and Martha's brother, a sister. And says, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box. And it was a little bottle. It's a little bottle. I don't know if they put it box, but it's a little bottle. And it had some oil. And that oil was found in the Himalaya mountains. It's a flower. If you look it up at the Google it or whatever. But it's like a pink flower. And it gives little, like, they look like blueberries. And in there, it carries that oil that's very expensive. And it was, that little bottle was worth a year's wages. That little bottle. You compare Judas settling for 30 pieces of silver. And this lady, I mean, she had no husband. And said, well, how she went to the Himalaya Mount or whatever, but not everybody could get it, and it didn't come just any time, so it was very costly. But she had it. She could have kept it for her, but she said, I want the best for the Lord. And look what it says. Having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious or very costly, and she broke the box or the bottle and poured it at his head. Mary thought for the opportunity to give the best to the Lord. There's a song that says, give of the best. I won't sing it because you guys will run away, but it's give of the best to the master. Give them the best. That's what she was doing. She wanted, I remember, I wanted, and everybody that I would speak, and I that I saw, I would speak to them about the Lord. Everywhere I was speaking to them. And then with time, I see myself, I got a little bit kind of cold. The circumstances of life sometimes will wear us down to where we're not as energetic. And Lord, help us. We don't lose our salvation, but we kind of slow down. At least I did. But I thank God that we're still serving Him. Okay. And then we have, again, it's in our nature, we have that demon-possessed person. The Bible doesn't name him, but he wanted nothing to do with Christ. Just like you and me, they would tell you, yeah, not right now, don't talk to me. And you know what I would hate when people say, do you know where you're going when you die? Don't ask me that question because I know I'm not going to heaven and I don't want to go to hell. It's in our nature. And the demons tell him that you don't need him. And so he, what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to torment us before our time? But when the devil goes out, Jesus rebuked that demon. Jesus rebuked that demon that was stopping us from coming to Christ. And when he did, our lives changed. And all of a sudden, the pigs, the demons go into the pigs, and they run violently into the steep hill and they drown. And the people from the village go tell the other people, and they come back. And you know what they found? That demon possessed person. Now it says the Bible says, and they found him dressed. Remember, he was nude, they find him. He dressed himself, and he was at the feet of Christ. You and I accepted the Lord. You know where we are? At the feet of Christ. Not because I'm Christ, no, but because it's God's word talking to you, talking to me. And now, every time when people, they want to go play baseball or do whatever they want to, we want to be at the feet of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he changed our lives. We see, I'm almost done, bear with me. We see the thief on the cross. All his life, lived a miserable life, stealing from you. He's your wallet, a wallet thief or whatever you call it, a pickpocket. And have you seen those guys? They come, hi, how are you? Before you know, they have your belt and your wallet. And you say, oh, wow, he was good at it. But one of those times that he got caught. See, they were after him and the other one, but they couldn't catch him, but they finally caught them. And they were going to crucify them. They were going to die. And he, knowing that he, having all those opportunities, he had heard of Christ, but he had rejected him. But he was hanging on the cross, and he looked. He knew that the only opportunity was right in the middle of him. And he turns and looked at him and said, Lord, forgive me. That's what he was saying. Remember me when thou enterest into your kingdom. Forgive me, Lord, I have sinned, I acknowledge it, and I surrender myself to you. And God said, Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know what? When you and I accepted the Lord said, today. If you were to die today, today you will be with me. And if the rapture comes, like brother said, we will be caught after those that died in Christ, and then we will be caught up in the air and forever be with the Lord. Opportunities knocking at our doors. We have opportunities to serve here at the church. Well, you know, I'm too old. No, you're never too old. Well, I'm too young. You're never. There's opportunities. The choir, anything. There's a lot of opportunities knocking. If you only take him, open the door and let the Lord use you. You know what? I never thought that I would be here up again. And Brother Ken said, thank you for volunteering. And I said, no, Humpty Dumpty did not volunteer. He was pushed. Faith was the one that told Pastor that I can preach. But thank you, Faith. I think the Lord used you. I just praise the Lord. I love my brothers and sisters here. But see, there's opportunities. And as we're going to finish, we have just seen the opportunities of those that didn't take advantage where they're at, those that have, and now we serve the Lord. And if you're here this morning, you might be a religious person. Examine yourself. Have you really accepted the Lord? I'm not trying to put doubt on you. But in Revelations 22, 1, the second part, it says, and this is the last time in Revelation that the Holy Spirit speaks. After that, you don't hear the Holy Spirit. It's a shame that the Holy Spirit spoke to those people and they're gone. That opportunity is gone for them. But right now, the Lord speaks to us. The Lord is speaking to you. And it says right here in Revelation 22, 1, 17, it says, and let him or her that is athirst, the Lord's talking to you, okay? Come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's salvation is free if you only take it. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to ask Marlene to play. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Let's go ahead and pray. Bow your head and pray. I'm going to ask that if the Lord has spoken to you and you had opportunities, but you rejected the Lord in one way or another. Maybe you are a Christian, but the Lord is talking to you and you have closed the doors. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you need the Lord. I'm going to ask you, come. Come and bow yourself. Let him do his will in you. Don't walk out of here without giving him that opportunity. I don't know what you have gone through this week, this year, whether it's health-wise, it could be financially, and maybe spiritually you're down. But the Lord is giving you an opportunity. If you're not here today, if you're here today, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would ask that you do not turn your back like these people did, and they find themselves in hell. And if you're here and you know the Lord, and the Lord has spoken to you, maybe you can come here, maybe you can't, but as you're there, ask the Lord to guide you to where he wants you. May you do his will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We have given your word, Lord, Sunday school, my wife, Ellen and Susan. Daryl will be preaching. Thank you for this opportunity. Father, I'll be bringing the message again this afternoon. Thank you for the privilege that you've given those opportunities, Lord, that knock in front of us. Help them take advantage and help us when Satan puts things that he uses to distract us from you. Help us to submit ourselves unto you, Lord. Father, we thank you for today's message that you have spoken to our heart, Lord. And we pray that you take us throughout the day and bring us back safe. Father, in Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.